Blog Talk Radio.
Sunny days seem to hurt the most. I wear the pain like a heavy coat. I feel you everywhere I go. I see your smile, I see your face. I hear you laughing in the rain. I still can't believe you're gone. It ain't fair you died too young, like the story that had just begun. But death tore the pages all away. God knows how I miss you. All the hell that I've been through, just knowing no one could take your place. Sometimes I wonder who you'd be today.
Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Clear and Convincing, the show that looks at criminal cases from the perspective of the courts, not the court of public opinion. We're Lisa O'Brien, podcasting from New Orleans, Louisiana, and Michael Carnahan, podcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas. To commemorate Stacey Lee Stites' 43rd birthday, we're talking to Carol Stites, Crystal Dobbs Heffley, and Deborah Oliver, Stacy's mother and two of her sisters. For 22 years, people who barely knew Stacy or who didn't know her at all have been talking about her in the media and on social media. Today, we're talking to the three people who knew Stacy better than anyone. We'll learn about Stacy's family, her childhood and adolescence, and the life-changing events that brought her from Corpus Christi to Central Texas. And good afternoon, Miss Carol and Crystal and Deborah. How are y'all today?
We're doing just good.
Good. And Michael?
I'm doing wonderful. I wish it would stop raining, but you know, hey, such is life in January in Arkansas.
It's in Louisiana and Texas as well. So, So thank you again for joining us this afternoon to talk about Stacy. Just a preface for anybody who listens, this isn't about the case. This is about Stacy. So on that note, Ms. Carol, why don't you tell us a little bit about your family background, where you're from,
right,
where you grew up.
Corpus Christi, Corpus Christi, Corpus Christi. Texas. I've born here, raised here, married here, and I'll die here. So, yeah.
Okay. Pardon? Born and bred Texan.
Yes.
All right. And
you know what
Stacy's dad now. Oh yes, I'm from Louisiana. I know. I lived in Texas for a while, but being from Louisiana was never quite accepted as one of the tribe.
Yeah. I've tried to get out of here for several years, but it just keeps bringing me back home. So I've moved away about four times, and I end up back here all the time. So
right. Same thing with New Orleans. I've moved to Texas, moved to Memphis, and I'm right back.
Yeah.
So.
It's hard to try to get away sometimes. There's no place like home.
Yeah. So. Definitely.
But my family's been here and my. Anyway, I was born and bred, and I've lived here basically most of my life.
And then Stacy's dad, Herbert Stites. Now, he was originally from Missouri.
Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri.
And how did he end up in Texas?
Well, from the time he was 13 years old, he kept running away from Kansas City to come down here to go fishing. And finally, his mother got tired of coming after him, and she moved down here.
Okay. All right.
Things are different. He was born in the 30s. People just did stuff back in the 30s. More, and his aunt and uncle lived here in Corpus, and his mother would be missing him some days, and she would wait a day or two, and she'd call her brother down here, and did Herb show up yet? And he says, yeah, he got here yesterday. And so that's the way he ended up in Texas. And he loved to fish. He loved Padre Island. And I met him through where I worked. And
now, did he fish as a career, or was that just fishing as a hobby?
Just fishing as a hobby, but he would spend 24/7 on a beach fishing if he could. So then he got responsibilities, and we would go out and spend 2 or 3 days or a week out at Padre Island just camping and fishing. So, his heart was fishing.
Yeah. And what did he do for a living?
He was a Padre Island National Seashores Ranger.
Okay.
He worked for the National Park.
Okay. Well, that is an interesting, very interesting career. And then what did you do when you worked?
Well, I was a babysitter. And I was a jack of all trades and master of none, and I ended up that way. I did babysitting for 52 years.
Okay.
And when
well,
I wasn't
babysitting. There's nothing wrong with that.
And when I wasn't babysitting, I was doing home health care because the mentality's not that different.
Right. You know, somebody who loves your kids, taking care of them is the best. It's the best thing for them when you can't. So,
I've got people that I go to church with that I helped raise them through their moms working, and they got married, and now their kids are at the same church in our Rainbow School. So, I've had 30 some odd years of raising kids just at that one church.
Right. That's, like I said, that's a great thing.
And I dog and then, I told you I did a and, little bit of everything. So.
And making ends meet.
I'm a human provider and a dog provider and a cat provider. So.
All right. And then Stacy's brother and sisters. If you can tell me a little bit about your son and Brenda, and then we'll let Crystal and Deborah.
Well, Clifford was a case like my mother. He was bipolar. And anyway, he had a rough life. And he couldn't handle his sister being killed. And there wasn't nothing he could do. He was up at Giddings, just about a week before she died, or maybe 2 weeks. And he and her went around to bridal shops and floor shops and looked at stands and stuff like that for her shower and her marriage and everything. And he was up there, I'm sure, 2 weeks, and he came back home. And then not too long after that, Stacy died. And he just never could get over the fact that he wasn't there when she needed him. And I said, he did have problems, and he just couldn't handle life anymore.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
it it's
yeah, there's not much you can do. I understand that.
It's,
yeah.
You know, I knew, but I'm still hearing the full story is just left me speechless, which Michael can tell you doesn't happen often.
Well, Stacy
and
I ended in East Texas because we were living in Corpus, and her daddy had died in 90, and problems came along with her, and we moved out of Corpus. And we moved to Smithville, and she had a little girl, and we adopted it to my best friends. Her dad and her adoptive parents were my best friends at where I went to church. And we wanted a baby. Stacy wanted them to have a baby, so it always upset her that she gave the baby away. She never did get over that, but she knew the baby had a better chance of life. And that baby had
right.
life in and
right.
Anyway, that's why how we ended up that way. So
right, and that's a hard decision to make.
Yep, and she did it, and I understand she had trouble with it and everything like that, but she knew the baby had a better chance at life, knowing the people that we adopted the baby to. So.
Mm-hmm. And she was part of the baby's life.
Yeah. And no.
Able to be part of the baby's life to a degree.
The baby's mother, adoptive mother came to us and she talked to us about them trying to get a couple of babies. And at the last minute, the mothers would back out and they put thousands and thousands of dollars out on trying to get a baby. And Stacy knew the Clarks from way back when, so she knew Debbie and she knew Steve, and she knew that they would be good parents, and she loved Debbie and Steve, and that's what made the whole thing possible, that there was a great love between the two families.
Mm-hmm.
No. Anyway, so we never had any problems, and the baby's name was Demi Yvette. When Stacy was carrying her, when we talked to her, we would call her Demi Yvette, and that's what her mother named it. So
that's awesome. That is really awesome.
Yeah.
So, and then your daughter Brenda.
She is.
You killed Bill.
So Brenda is the second oldest, and she still lives here locally.
Okay. All right. And then Crystal, if you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you as well.
Hi, I'm Crystal Dobbs Heffley, and the oldest sister of Stacy Seitz. I lived in Corpus the majority of my life and have been a realtor for 33 years.
Okay. And then Deborah?
And so I'm Deborah. I'm Stacy and I are 3.5 years apart. So I was the fourth out of five. And Stacy was the baby. So I'm a pharmacist. I grew up in Corpus and graduated from here, got my undergraduate degree from here, and now live in the Central Texas area.
Okay. All right. And so, Summers, what were some of the things that you all did as kids with Stacy? Summers at your grandparents' houses, camp. Growing up, what was the routine? Was there a routine?
Summers when we were younger, we didn't really visit our grandmother very much. Mostly we would just stay at home. My mom, since my mom watched all the kids and was a stay-at-home mom most of the time, we didn't have to go to daycare or anything. But we did go to summer camp. The church always had a week-long summer camp that was always something that we participated in.
Okay. And were y'all in City Corpus or were you out in the country or?
We mostly grew up in the Corpus Christi area.
Okay. Or suburbs or city proper?
It was the city proper.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm from the suburbs of New Orleans. I don't live in well, I've lived uptown for a while, but yeah. So I'm from the suburbs. And then what about Stacy in school? What did elementary school, did she have favorite subjects? Did she have favorite teachers? Did she have that unfortunate younger child experience of you're not like your sister?
Definitely were very different. So school was much easier for me than it was for her. So I was good at school and she was good at sports, which I was not good at. And then for a little while, but before we moved back to Corpus, we lived closer to the central Texas area again. We lived in Yorktown for a little while, and she was runner-up for Little Miss Yorktown one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old was she?
Probably about 7.
Okay. And was that was that something she was interested in? That type of pageant and?
No. I don't think that she was.
Social.
It wasn't really a pageant thing, but she definitely was always outgoing and had a great little personality.
And then what about middle school and junior high?
By middle school, we had moved back to Corpus, and we actually both went to Haas junior high. And then she went to King, also where I'm from. So we went to the same junior high and high school. But we were far enough apart that one of us would leave and the other one would come in. So.
And then what sports did she play in school?
She played basketball, volleyball, track. I actually found her senior memories book, and she has some photos in there from where they were in the paper, when they live in a small town, they have all the high school games. So pictures of her making a shot, that kind of thing.
Okay. And then what were her, if she had any favorite subjects in school?
Shop.
Shop.
Yeah.
Of course, she loved PE.
Yeah.
PE. So she was an active.
Yeah,
an
she
active
was always,
do.
She made a
picnic
table.
Got to be doing something.
Yeah, she was made a picnic table, and that was the best picnic table. And her shop teacher told her that she could get a job anywhere she wanted for about $15 or $20 an hour doing welding. And I was very surprised. I gave the picnic table to Brenda, and it vanished over the years. But anyway, but yeah, she made a picnic table for a shop, and I think she won a prize on it or something, a ribbon.
All right. So she could. She was not only that, handy.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, when she started working for HEBs, she was carry out for a couple of weeks around there, and then all of a sudden they had her on a cashier, and she cashiered. And then when her and Jimmy decided that if they wanted to get married, she went to the produce department because she made 50 cents more an hour working produce. And that's how she ended up going to work so early in the morning, was that it increased her thing. And she had a wedding dress on layaway at one of the shops there, and she had jewelry, and we went out and got her shoes and stuff like that. So we were getting things ready for her wedding. And
right. And then, of course, she was, you know, everything I've read, Stacy was an outgoing, outspoken young lady.
She never met a stranger.
And never met a stranger.
She's like her mother.
So who are some of her friends in school? Did they stay friends from kindergarten through, you know, adulthood, or did they, did she kind of have a best friend?
In fact, with about six or seven of her schoolmates that she was going to school with in Smithville, Kathy Vossett and Sherry Holder and Jamie Dreyer, and there's some more, but I can't think of their names right now. But yeah, I stayed in contact with all those girls over the years. They've never forgotten.
Yeah,
and I, like I said, I found this little senior book. She's talking about her friend Sherry, and that she was like a little sister to her, and they were always there for each other, and how she was fun. And they had apparently a little gang of people that hung out together. It says Mama Carol, Jamie, Misty, David Shaw, Mike, Carrie, James, and Robert. So I guess in Smithville, they had a little group together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Always somewhere.
And then Stacy's personality, of course, is outgoing and outspoken.
Yeah.
Well, you know, was there any like music that she liked, or
country? So it says country and rock. Okay. Yeah, she's got a book here she's reading out of.
Yeah, she was pretty. Stacy was always really easygoing and laid back. Yeah, so she probably, you know, this is what we're listening to this year.
Right. And then hobbies, of course, we've established. She was good with her hands, very handy.
Yeah, and Lisa, this story comes to mind that I wanted to tell you about is when we lived in Smithville, we lived right across the street from 7-Eleven. And that was a hangout for a lot of people there in Smithville, was a 7-Eleven. And some night she didn't come home, and I'd call the police department. I'd say, y'all seen Stacy? They say, yeah, she's over there, so-and-so. We just seen her on the highway. And I'd call another one, and they say, yeah, she just got to 7-Eleven. So everywhere Stacy went in Smithville, the police department knew where she was and what she was doing and everything like that. And they would tell me, don't worry, Miss Dykes, we're keeping an eye on her. And I never worried about her when we lived in Smithville, because all the police force, and she worked for some of the guys on the police force. She was very officer-oriented, and that's how she ended up dating Jimmy, was that he was going to officer school, or to become an officer, and he met her at her senior graduation, and they got it and did it together, and after a little bit, things happened, and they wanted to move in with each other, and being who I was, I'm here, so I'm here, I'm waiting in the background.
I live in a little town like that right now that everybody knows everyone, so.
Yeah, everybody's business.
Right.
I never had to worry about her in Smithville.
And she always worked. I mean...
Yes. She always had a job. She worked at I can't remember this grocery store there in Smithfield. Brothers, or
was it Brookshire Brothers?
Brookshire Brothers, yeah. Her senior year, she worked for Brookshire Brothers, and then she went to that car place when she graduated and delivered cars to people. She'd take them from Bastrop to Austin and be over there and come back with a car and take the car, and she was a driver for them. And then the opening came with HEBs, and she switched over to HEBs. But the kids always worked all of her life.
Right. And part of that was helping you after her dad died.
She's very dependable.
Right.
I don't know if the guy that auto shop is still there, but they love Stacy. And I never met anybody that didn't love Stacy. The police force over there in Bastrop was always going around and coming around. And then when we moved to Giddings, well, it's the same thing. The police force was there. She is very
officer-oriented. Right. And she said she worked for police officers, I'm guessing, babysitting and...
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And then, so we've kind of covered the teen years as well. And actually early adulthood, because we talked about Brookshire and her meeting Jimmy and moving to Giddings. What was her relationship?
I'm sorry.
What was her relationship like with you as an adult after she turned 18?
Respectful. I was telling Deborah that she wanted to do things right, and she respected me, and she had a lot of respect for me, and Jimmy did too. And
I think because she was the baby and was the last one in the house, they probably were closer than
yes.
the rest of us, because it's just the two of them, you know?
Right. And you all had started college and moved on by the time her dad died. So
yes.
it was just her and your mom.
Right.
From 1990.
And how did that affect Stacy?
Well, she was a teenager without a father. And it affected her like any. Well, my daddy died when I was 10 years old. I've never had a father. So she had a father till she was 12 or 13 years old. And I have never got over not having a father, because it's that male influence that you have. And I think she missed the love that he showed her. He used to get up as sick as he was with cancer. And he would drive Deborah and her to Haas Junior High School, that was only three blocks away from where we lived in the apartments. But he did not trust anybody with his daughters. And he would get up some mornings and he was sick as everything. And he'd get in the car and he'd take them down there. And they never had to walk three blocks to go to school, because he was always there ready to take them and protect them.
Oh, wow. So he was a good dad, and a good dad to your older children.
Very good. In fact, I had one of my kids tell me that Herb was really the only father that he ever knew. And after Herb died and then Stacy died, my son came to the house one day, and he said that it took him a while, but he really did look up to Herb as his father. He said he did a lot of things wrong, but he realized Herb was only trying to take care of him and do what's best for him. And not too many days after that, well, he died.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Stacy's plans for her wedding. She had flowers, dress, picked out.
The photographs.
And
the photographs took $200 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Stacy died, the lady refunded the money to me. And she had been paying that lady to make sure that her pictures and everything were paid for. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found a wedding budget planner today that she had written everything down in and where everything was at, where they were getting the ring. She was really excited about it and planning it.
Right. And where was the wedding going to be held?
Georgetown Church of Christ. Jimmy's mother and father are members of the Georgetown Church of Christ at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Church of Christ, Jimmy was Church of Christ, and Stacy was Church of Christ, so I thought I'd hit the jackpot. And I was
mm-hmm.
very fortunate that Stacy fell in love with somebody that we all had something in common with.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because I was Protestant and my ex-husband was Catholic. It didn't work. And the only thing his mother approved of was that we weren't being married in the Catholic Church, so it wouldn't really count for him.
Why, he'd get it an old.
No, at the time in the 1980s, it didn't count. If you didn't go through pre-Cana and weren't married by a priest, you weren't really married in the eyes of the church.
Exactly. That's the way it worked.
So, we were married by a Presbyterian minister, because we're Presbyterian.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So, that's one of the big things that they shared that core.
Yep, that was the basis of what I really thought God had sent Jimmy our way, because I prayed for a person that would go to church with him and her, and they went to church over in Giddings with me all the time. We'd go to church and come home, and we were just a little family. That I lived downstairs and she lived upstairs.
Mm-hmm. And the wedding guests, had everyone been invited? Had the invitations gone out?
Yeah. I had invitations and they went out.
Yeah, because I think it was about 2.5 weeks before the wedding, because I know the last conversation that I had with her, she called and to let me know that she had made her appointments for us to have our hair and our nails done. And I had just found shoes, because it was back in the day when you'd get those satin shoes and dye them. So I'd found mm-hmm. or gotten the shoes to match the dress.
Right. And then who was in the wedding party as far as Stacy's bridesmaids, maid of honor?
I was the maid of honor. I don't know who the bridesmaids were, though.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. I don't remember. I just know that Jimmy's mother and daddy went to Georgetown Church of Christ, and they did a lot of the getting the building and the preacher and all that kind of stuff.
I know, and I was looking through the little mm-hmm. book here. It looks like Jimmy's aunt was going to be the one to make the cake.
Okay.
Or make the cake.
So that really, I mean, if she was 2 weeks away, I think it was May 11th, 1996 was the date.
Yes.
So she had everything pretty much done. They were going to do the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And she was finishing the dress. I think she had less than $20 on her dress.
Yes.
So,
I know. I found the receipt book today too, where you could see where she had been going by and making payments on it.
Yeah.
She did it all herself, too.
Yep. Right. I had read that in a couple other places, too. So what were Stacy's, what were some of Stacy's hopes and dreams?
Well, you know,
she was really excited about getting married. She, in this book that I found today from her senior year, she said that now that I'm out of school, she's getting out of school and I have a boyfriend and plan on getting married. And her, her important days were the days that she met Jimmy Finnell and that they were getting married. She was really excited that she had met Jimmy, and this is the first time I've ever seen this book today. My mom had it in a box, and it was very interesting to see how many times this little wedding thing that she had, the receipt book, and she was really excited about having met someone and being able to start a family, but then also she was talking about she wanted to do something where she helped people, so either an RN or occupational therapy. That was sort of where she wanted to her career to go.
So she at some point would have started going to school and working toward that. Mm-hmm. And she was a hard worker.
Yes. And the last time I saw her was in February. She had come down. We had gotten braces at the same time, so we were still seeing the same orthodontist. And she came for her very last final check with the orthodontist here and stayed overnight with me. And we kind of talked about, you know, getting married. And I had just had a baby. And so we were really excited that our lives were starting and we were starting our families. And she talked about after the wedding was done, looking at going to school and that she wanted to go into, you know, the nursing field or something like it.
Right. And then I want to ask each of you this question. What is your funniest memory of Stacy? Miss Carol first.
Mm-hmm. Go with Deborah first.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, Deborah.
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I have a funny story.
Was she a practical joker?
She was always very outgoing and funny and definitely, you know, liked to joke and was very happy and had that, you know, personality that filled up a room. I'm trying to think if there was anything we ever did, but we were still in those teenage years, so we were still in that squabbling stage when I was
okay.
Home. let me see. I probably the funniest thing is she always stole my clothes. I know Crystal and I were looking at some photos one day, and I was like, "That's my dress. That's my shirt." And then last night when I was at Brenda's and we were going through some old photos, and Brenda's like, "That's my shirt." I'm like, "Yes, see, this is what everyone's talking
about." Okay, that's good. That's sounds like one of my sisters. And then take pictures wearing your clothes.
Yes.
It's like, don't even try to hide it. I have two younger sisters.
Like, yes, of course I'm wearing your shirt. So, I mean, what are you upset about?
Uh-huh. What about you, Crystal?
I saw her Easter weekend before she got killed. And we were hanging out in lawn chairs and sunning and talking about men and their flatulating problems.
Oh.
It's true.
Oh, I bet that one was fun. Yeah, that is true.
Talking about
and
men
not putting...
and what it's like to be married, snoring, passing gas, yeah.
Not putting the toilet seat down.
Pretty much.
Oh.
yeah.
I bet.
I
see, I would.
Yeah, right before.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall because I could just picture Stacy from everything I've read about her. I could just picture her talking about it.
Let's just say
and you
we
were probably
a lot of laughing.
Couldn't breathe.
Pretty much. Tears running down your face because you're laughing so hard. But yeah.
And then somebody asks what you're laughing at and you're laughing too hard to even try to tell them.
Pretty much. But yeah. So. It was always funny. Oh. Yeah. And I used to smoke back then. And when I go to light my cigarette, she was always blowing out my lighter. And that's the other thing that I was always punching her in the arm and stuff because she was always blowing out my match or my lighter when I was trying to smoke my cigarette. So, yeah. Anyway.
Did she like to play the younger sibling card? Oh, I'm the youngest.
Nah, I think she tried to act
fault.
Older. No. I don't remember that. Deborah might, but I don't ever remember that. So,
no, I mean,
it was pretty laid back. Always smiling,
I mean,
always laughing.
For me, she was the pesky little sister since we were only 3.5 years apart, you know. She was,
mm-hmm.
She did what little she was supposed to do. I know, I told someone about it. Stacy was always outweighed me. She was always a little bit bigger. So when we would squabble, she outweighed me, but I always grew my nails out. She always bit her nails. And so that would always be my defense. She would hit me, but I would scratch her. So that was, you know. So we did. I have 5 kids. I have 3 boys at home right now. And so we were very normal in our squabbling.
Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, even into your 50s, it still happens
right.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Especially with sisters.
Yes. Yeah.
But then you get together. Thanksgiving, my sisters and I were having one of those laughing so hard because we have the first grandchild for my middle sister.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Just being with him was... made us all 3 giddy.
Yeah. My mom says she's had time to think of this funny story.
Oh, great.
Okay. Back in the days when we had just moved to Yorktown, we moved into an old house. It was over 100 years old with a bathroom attached to the back. And the girls had a bedroom coming off of the living room. And my husband and I were sitting there watching TV one night, and we heard this blood-curdling screaming, and he turned white. He thought somebody had come in that back door back there and was in there with his girls. And he ran to that door, and he opened that door and went into the bedroom, and they were huddled up together on a bed screaming and pointing. And he said, "What's the matter with you girls?" And they said, "It's a cockroach. It's dive bombing us." they were mad at that one of those flying roaches, but it had got in there in that old house and everything like that. And they had these door sills up over the top of the doors, you know, a long time ago, and that thing had landed up the door sill. And they were sitting over there screaming their heads off, and he thought that he was going to have to go in there and kill somebody before he got out of there. But that was the funniest thing that I can think of at the time. It was really hysterical.
Yeah. I had something like that with a friend of mine and her mom. And I ran down the street and go in the house, and it's just a roach on the floor, y'all.
Yeah.
But they had lived in the Middle East. And so a flying cockroach was like beyond what they could cope with.
Definitely.
And I had lived in Texas.
Yeah.
And everything's bigger in Texas.
Absolutely.
Especially the bugs.
Especially the bugs. Although the palmettos in Florida give a run for their money.
There you go. Exactly.
So... But everything in Florida is crazy. And then I got our last question, then we just freestyle if you want. What is your happiest memory with Stacy?
Probably my happiest memory is, like I said, that last time that we got to see each other face to face, and it was just the two of us and my daughter, and we had finally reached that point where, you know, we were both becoming young adults, and the hope that, you know, that our lives were coming together. I was married, I had a child, she was looking forward to getting married and having children, and just that bonding that last time is probably my happiest memory.
Crystal?
Erin? My happiest memory. I taught her how to drive a tractor when I was living outside of Victoria. Do you remember that, Deborah?
No, I saw the photo today when I was looking through them. Yeah, she's riding that tractor. I sure do.
Yeah, I taught her how to drive the tractor. I taught her how to drive a pickup truck. She was always wanting me to teach her stuff like that, so...
Okay, yeah. So you taught her to drive, too. Okay.
Yeah, I did when she was like 14 because Deborah was too chicken. No, actually, she was 12. I remember Deborah to drive, but Deborah was too chicken, so Stacy wanted to do it. I mean, we're out on dirt roads in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely our personality. She definitely would have gone for it, yep.
Right.
Yeah, she did.
And Deborah... You were like me. It's like you don't want to get in trouble, and you know you will. And so the better option is just to not do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's Deborah.
And Stacy was like my middle and youngest sisters who, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. I'll deal with it then.
Exactly.
What about you, Miss Carol? What's your happiest memory with Stacy?
When we lived over at Giddings, there was a guy from Jimmy's police force that was over at Bastrop, but he had a house in Giddings. And in the back of the backyard back there, he had a great big, huge pond. And Jimmy and Stacy and I would get in his truck and go back there where that pond was, and Jimmy and her and I would sit back there and fish or just hang out and enjoy it. It's so peaceful and quiet and everything like that. And Jimmy made me happy. I got mad at him one time, but I was under a lot of stress. Anyway,
right.
Yeah, we would go fishing and hang out, and we'd go to eat and hang out, and we did a lot of hanging out together.
Right. So you were always a welcome part in their relationship.
I was the part of the family. I wasn't pushed off to the side.
Right. Now, there is, though, one question. Jimmy's mom was kind of very close to him as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that created a little bit of tension in their relationship.
Well, you try to please your mom, you try to please your girlfriend, and you try to please your girlfriend's mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for me.
And that's normal. I was lucky that my future husband's mother lived in Pascagoula and didn't like to travel to New Orleans.
There you go. Well, you know, the last day I saw Jimmy and Stacy was they had come down and ate supper, and I took care of a little girl about 4 years old, and Stacy was sitting on the couch reading Bible stories to Jimmy and Jennifer, and she just made me so happy that day, sitting there and talking about how she liked being a Christian and
how she went to church camp and missions and went to camp at Camp Bandina. And Jimmy was telling us that he never got to do stuff like that because his parents and people were more of the West Texas. And he said half the congregation there, their Church of Christ, was family members. So he didn't grow up with the background that Stacy, our church had LTC, and Stacy went off to those meetings and did Bible verses and stuff like that. And she went to camp. And anyway, she was just so happy that last time I seen her.
We had a huge church group and youth group, and participating in that was always really fun here. If you wanted to talk about friends that you still had from when you were young, those people I'm all still friends with, and so it was a very similar experience for her that they were like siblings too because you saw them and spent so much time together with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, I think, you know, are there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about for Stacy's birthday next weekend?
I think that we just want people to remember who she was. That I've had lots of people on Facebook reach out that remembered her and talked about her contagious smile, how she would walk in the room and brighten the room. She was a good person, and she had made mistakes, but she had learned from it, and she was becoming an adult, and everybody talks about what a good friend she was, how she was like a sister to them. That's how several people have described her to me. So I've been very appreciative to all the people that have reached out and remembered her and talked about her.
And Crystal?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything that you wanna add to who Stacy really was?
She was sweet and vibrant, and when she smiled, her eyes would twinkle. Just a beautiful person inside and out. That's about it. She was a lot of fun. Miss her.
Yeah,
she was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't imagine it what it would feel like with either one of my sisters. We had a scare with one a few years ago, and it was it was really hard, and luckily everything turned out okay. But we all three lost our mom when we were in our 20s. Well,
oh,
I was in my 30s. Lynn was in her 30s, and my youngest sister was in her 20s. So my mom passed in October of 96. So
same year,
yeah, the same year.
Yeah.
But then we had our issues, and then our dad passed in 2012. And it was after he passed, I think, that we all three got a lot closer than we had ever been.
Yep.
Because two of us live together now.
Oh, wow.
And there are days it's nice and days it's not. But what about you, Miss Carol? What would you want to say to people about who Stacy really was?
Okay. The night before she died, that next morning, she came down and she was ready for bed, and she was in her t-shirt and shorts that she always slept in. And she came in the door and she says something to me, and I told her what I was thinking, and she says, "You know I love you, Mom." And I said, "I know you do, darling." And that was our last words together. She had enough respect for me to love me and respect me. And that's the one thing I want people to remember. She had a lot of respect. And I cannot see her doing any of this stuff that she's been accused of. So I want you to think of this. People don't change. And they're basically the same. And Stacy was who she was, but she was very good person.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And that's what people have told me all this time. Well, you just didn't know. You just didn't know. I did know. I knew my daughter, and I loved her, and she loved me.
Exactly. And that is the person you knew,
yep,
is not the person,
yep,
that's being...
Nothing like what the Reed said she was like, or nothing those people talk about. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
The stories don't ever end up. I mean, she wasn't anything like that. And she was very close to all of the sisters, too.
Yep.
So.
Right.
It's pretty bad when you have to put your defense on killing somebody that you had a secret affair that she didn't know about. But
anyone who's,
mm-hmm,
looked into the story, that's his normal operandi. It's,
yes,
what he's used before. It's what he'll use again. And there's no evidence. There's never been any evidence presented by his side to prove what they've said.
And
never.
Correct.
And this is Stacy's head for 20-some-odd years, and I think it's about time that it's cleared up.
Right.
And
that's another thing, the relationship with your family and the things that your family's been through, you would have known she would have talked to one of you, if not all of you.
Right.
Yeah. If there was this dilemma of, I love Jimmy, but I want to be with this other person.
Right. She wouldn't have hit
She
that.
Would have told
no.
at least one of you what was going on, because you would have been the people that she would have wanted to, you know, get advice.
I have to say that was one of the main reasons, you know, being the oldest sister, that was one of the main reasons I went up there that Easter weekend before she got married, because I wanted to make sure that's what she wanted. And I think,
mm-hmm,
all she talked about was Jimmy. She was ecstatic. And I had never really met him before. I'd never met him before. That was my first time I'd ever met him. That she just felt to tell me everything about him. So.
And I'm going to read this out of her book, this commencement book, this memory from her senior year. She says, "The best thing that happened that night, which is commencement, is that I realized which person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and now I'm going to marry him. He's the greatest friend I've ever had."
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I believe it.
Yep. I didn't want to go into the case, but let me just ask you, did you all ever see or hear any instance where Jimmy was abusive or mean or even disrespectful to Stacy?
Yeah. May I say something? In this documentary they did on Reed here on some of these HLN or something like that, he,
mm-hmm,
made a comment to somebody that him and his cousin was walking down the railroad track and Jimmy,
right,
came to the school car and told him, "I hear you're messing with my woman." That,
yeah,
was 2 weeks before she died. I'm guarantee you she wouldn't have been 2 weeks, and he wouldn't have been playing kitschy kitschy going up the steps with her if he'd known that she was sleeping with some black guy. And that's about the stupidest thing I ever heard, because he would have broke up with her or done something that night that he intercepted Rodney Reed and his cousin. Now, that's the biggest dadgum lie that you've ever heard in your life.
None of their stories ever.
I agree.
Ever.
And that was never anything brought up at his trial.
No.
And, you know, there's no reason he wouldn't have brought it up. If it had really happened, that would have been question number one on Jimmy Finnell's cross-examination.
Exactly. And the last time, just a couple of days ago, they did an interview. I think it was on the 10th of December or somewhere like that. And they asked him about Stacy. And she said, "Was Stacy your girlfriend?" And he says, "No, she was a nice girl that I had sex with."
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm going, you can't be both. She was either not a nice girl and had sex with you, or she was a nice girl and you respected her, but you got yourself in this hole and you can't dig it out.
Well, what doesn't ever make sense is it's early morning shift.
Right.
Neither one of them have a car.
Right.
I mean, if you have to be at work at 4 in the morning, somebody would have noticed you even coming here, and his story never adds up.
Yeah.
Right, and the thing about it too is, the people at HEB all said she was never ever late for work.
The guy that.
So how can you have a liaison on your way to work and not be late for work?
Exactly. And she was a very clean person. She cleaned up every day when she came home.
Right.
Right. And so she likely would not have been going to work without taking a shower or bathing prior to going to work.
I manage people. I can tell you exactly who on my team is not going to be showing up on time, and I can tell you exactly who's going to be there, and they're waiting on me to show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's another thing too, is the person you're describing is not the person at all.
No.
Exactly.
The person that you're talking about.
You respect your time by her coming home every day. She was home at same time every day, even before she died. I took care of Jennifer, and she was always home right before Jennifer's mother picked her up. And that was a daily deal.
Right. And like I said, you never saw any abuse or anything in her relationship with Jimmy. Curtis Davis said it looked like Stacy called the shots and Jimmy did what Stacy told him to do.
I could believe that.
I believe that.
And with her personality.
Jimmy was super, super conservative and laid back. So, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. So, if she said jump, Jimmy said how high, dear.
Well.
So. I mean, they didn't have occasional disagreements or issues, but it also doesn't strike me as her tolerating being abused by anybody.
No.
So if he crossed a line, she would be the first one to tell him, no, you crossed the line. We're done.
Absolutely.
Well, she was ready for bed that night when she came down with her pajama or her t-shirt, her thing on. She went to bed when she was found. She was fully dressed with her socks and shoes and pants and belt and everything that she had to be. If Jimmy killed her, I can't see him doing all that to go dump her body.
It doesn't even make sense.
It don't make sense.
Right. And then you knew what her schedule was.
Yeah.
And you knew when she had to be at work and.
Yes. Well, I live downstairs and it's right next to the steps and it's right next to the sidewalk that you have to go in front of my bedroom window to get down to the steps to get to the car. And every morning, I listen to her come down those steps and walk right by my window and get in the car and drive away. And it wasn't any different that morning because I was thinking, well, Stacy's going to work. So, and then they called me from HEB's about 6:30 because they couldn't get in at 4 to get into the thing to home.
So.
Steps wearing his T-shirt, or putting these on his T-shirt, and had his shoes in his hand. Came out of his apartment. As soon as I called up there, he says, okay, I'll be down. And he got the keys from me, and was off to look for Stacy. But he did not look like he had been, because I was told that she put up a pretty good fight, you know, from the way she looked. She was all beat up and everything like that, physically, on her one side that would have been on the passenger side, her body. It was had bruises and hits and everything all over. It looked like somebody had been beaten on her while she was in that seatbelt.
Correct. Yeah, that's another thing that, you know, doesn't make sense. Everything's consistent with her being in the driver's seat of the truck.
Right.
Not in the bathroom
or being
getting ready to take a bath wearing her work clothes.
I think what keeps killing me is that the story keeps changing and changing and changing. I mean, every time whatever they come up with gets shot down, the story changes and they just run with it. And nobody questions.
Correct.
The media in general doesn't ever question them.
Yeah.
Correct. Right. And they kind of, there's kind of a bait and switch where we're not going to talk about this because we don't have an answer, so we'll harp on that. You know, we'll harp on them not searching the apartment, even though the jury knew about it.
Right.
And didn't find it to be sufficient to raise reasonable doubt.
She was abducted.
And I think what drives me crazy is, well, he hasn't been found guilty of these other rapes, even though the DNA connects him to those. So we're just going to pretend that didn't happen and that there's not a history here.
Exactly.
That's what drives me crazy. The fact that there's other cases and they don't want to talk about it. Like,
because they
you know, if you were going to date a guy who had cheated on every girlfriend before, if you're going to be the one dating, you know, I'm just using an example, you kind of want to know that, you know.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, the other thing is that they accuse Jimmy of all these things. Nothing he was ever convicted of prior to Stacy's murder. Bootstrapping it with that single conviction in 2007. And yeah, what he did then was horrible. There is no, you know, no, but it was 11 years after Stacy was murdered. How can you use that to predict his behavior at the time she was murdered?
Yeah.
You know,
somebody harassing you for 10 years and 10 years and 10 years. I don't know what happened to the mind of Jimmy, because Jimmy changed. But he never went to a doctor. He never got any counseling or anything else because he thought he could do it himself.
Right. Exactly. And, again, I think it's also you initially thought maybe. I think, Carol, you never thought that he was involved.
No, we
but Deborah and Crystal... I mean, not that you thought he did it, but you thought maybe, could be.
No.
Well, I think when it initially happened, you can't not roll him out because the majority of murders are by somebody they know. So you can't, if I went into the day, they would look at my spouse without a doubt. But it never came through. It never added up. It never was there. And I know everybody wants to talk about the private detective that my sister hired, because we wanted to make sure that the city had turned it over to the Texas Rangers, because they wanted to make sure that the Texas Rangers looked into it, which I think is protocol, because we had an incident in close to a town that I live in, and exact same thing. They took it out of the hands of the policemen. Mm-hmm. Give it to the Texas Rangers to investigate.
Yep.
Right.
And we went the extra mile by hiring somebody saying, hey, we want you to look at this too. What do you find? And he couldn't find anything. It was physically impossible for Jimmy to get from Bastrop back to Giddings in time.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And, you know, I think, yeah, because Fennell was a police officer and had worked for the Bastrop Sheriff at one time, and also because you have a case that's crossing county lines.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it was between Lee and Bastrop County. So,
right.
Yeah, that's normal. But, yeah, they never could place Jimmy how he would get back to Giddings.
Right.
And, you know, they don't want to talk about the fact the vehicle was 6/10 of a mile from Rodney Reed's house where he was living, or his grandmother's
exactly.
house, or half a dozen other relatives' homes.
Or the fact that when he took Linda Schluter's car, he took it back to that, he left it in the same
exact place. Same place, right, right. Because that was really Jimmy. And see, she's
right.
just accusing Rodney Reed because David Board told her to.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the other part that I can't deal with is the whole police conspiracy. Everything that counts against Rodney Reed is planted by the police or tampered with by the police or witnesses or, you know, they didn't come forward for 20 years because the police threatened them, even though they don't say that's what happened.
Right. Their conspiracy theory is amazing because the number of people that you would have had to get to buy into this thing and agree to it is incomprehensible. It would never happen. You couldn't
right.
even organize something. So.
And in all this time, one of those people would have cracked.
Absolutely.
So, but all right, ladies. Well, thank you so much for taking time out on Sunday. Why don't we just close it on Stacy and how are y'all going to commemorate her birthday next Sunday?
Oh, I think that we all just sort of
have adapted.
Yeah, it never gets easier. Even
we never forget,
and we all just sort of quietly mourn on our own. It never goes away. It's never gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're yeah.
telling people we've dealt with this case longer than she was alive.
Yes.
Right. That's one of the most difficult aspects of it. So, all right, ladies. Well, thank you so much. And, of course, you know, when there's something new, we'll be all over it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye. Can I?
Bye-bye. All right, Michael. You
wow,
still there?
I mean, yes, ma'am. I mean, I tell you what. It's one of those things that, like, I don't know how to describe it, but just the stuff that you listen to people, it's the stuff that people say about her that it's, like, shocking. And then, like, you hear the true story, and it's just crazy to me. I don't know.
Right. Right. And I hadn't intended to go anywhere near. But unfortunately, I think that's, you know, that's become a part of their lives. as much as anything else.
Right, absolutely.
Is having to deal with the false stories about her from people who didn't know her or people who were barely acquainted with her.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, that's, I wanted to commemorate her birthday and see, people can see who she really was.
Absolutely.
And
not enough people do that.
Yeah. And I think also to see who her family lost, not just her, but her brother. So, all right. Well, let's close out the show. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Clear and Convincing. If you like our show and want to know more, you can find us on Facebook. Go to our blog at clearandconvincingpodcast.wordpress.com or follow me on Twitter at O'Brien L. Ann. Michael and I want to thank Ms. Carol Stites, Crystal Dobbs-Hesley, and Deborah Oliver today for joining us and taking time to talk about Stacy Stites, their sister. Stacy would have turned 43 years old today. We'll be back for a regular episode on Tuesday, January 21st, 2020 at 8 p.m. Central for episode 46, State of Arkansas versus Curtis Lavelle Vance. At 4:30 a.m. on October 20th, 2008, Ann Presley was found severely beaten and fighting for her life in her home in Little Rock. Ann, a morning anchor at KATV, missed an early morning call from her mother, who was concerned and went to her daughter's home. A month later, DNA evidence linked Curtis Lavelle Vance to Ann's murder and the rape of another woman that had occurred in April 2008. We'll talk about the case against Vance, his trial and conviction, appeals, and post-conviction claims. Until then, we hope you had a great long weekend and a peaceful return to work on Tuesday. Goodbye.
Think back on these times and the dreams we left behind. I'll be glad, 'cause I was blessed to get to have you in my life. When I look back on these days, I'll look and see your face. You were right there for me.